Charles did not perform on the stage, but history was already preparing another place for the pretty O'Brien girl in your life. Rilda B. O'Brien managed to merge a professional music career with marriage by teaching piano to neighborhood youngsters. And that was not all they learned, for her special skill was combined with a quiet, confident Christian faith, which inspired perspiring toddlers to be good custodians of their talents. What you are is your gift from God, she would say. What you become is your gift to Him. And when a son was born, Rilda B. never allowed her avocation to conflict with her first obligation as a mother. Lessons were spaced so that they would not interfere with baby sleep time. It was one afternoon when one of her more promising pupils had delighted Rilda B. with a rather complete recital of Crawford's arpeggio waltz that she congratulated the youngster, told him he'd certainly earned a gold star for committing to memory that somewhat advanced piece at the age of only 15, and she adjourned the lesson. Now it's later, and Rilda B.'s in the kitchen. She overheard her pupil back at the keyboard again, playing the arpeggio waltz again. She glanced at the clock, went to the kitchen door, called out to the young lad that his mother might be getting anxious. It was time to go home now. But the notes of Crawford's music continued, uninterrupted. Thinking her pupil had not heard, Rilda B. opened the door to the living room to discover it was not her secondary student at the keyboard. It was not the considerable accomplishment of a 15-year-old boy she was rehearing. There at the piano, having had no lesson in his life, but playing by ear, was her own son, age 3. I would guess the tears which welled into the teacher's eyes that afternoon were mixed with pride and reservation, for none knew better than she what a monumental career might await a pianist so accomplished at 3, and yet what dedication and discipline and inevitable sacrifice it would require. But there was no turning back now. There was a pianist in the family, and under her tutelage that lad grew to match and then surpass the artistry of his gifted mother. The days became years. The minuet became Rachmaninoff. The lean young man with the huge, powerful, sensitive hands grew tall at the keyboard. And one day, when he was ready, there was the Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow, after which, for the first time in the history of that greatest international talent tournament, the audience was on its feet cheering and applauding for 8.5 uninterrupted minutes, and after which, for the first time ever, a New York ticker tape parade for a piano player, when the lean young genius from Louisiana and Texas came home. There have been other stars of the first magnitude who rank with the greatest of the great. But the chronology which I have recited today, and every subsequent performance by her son, constitute our nation's greatest ever such gift to the timeless world of music. And that greatest gift derives in large part from an uncommon woman named Rilda B., and her son would be the first to say so. The virtuoso who announced himself at the age of 3, of course, was Van Cliburn. You knew Rilda B. died last Wednesday morning. I thought you should know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome back to Friday, Open Mic Friday with Kenny Ennie and Darcia Stebbins. And we're here for you to talk about the things that you want to talk about. If you want to call in, we can. In the last half hour, we were talking about the U.S. Postal Service announcing that they wanted to take a pension contribution holiday. We'll call it a pension contribution holiday. How's that, Cody? Thank you for calling in and giving us some additional information on that. And it's very alarming. And I did, like I said, when my husband said, hey, this is a very big deal, I knew that we needed to talk about it today. So what's happening, if you've just joined us, I was referring to the U.S. Postal Service suspending contributions to the employee pensions as it warns of a pension liquidity, a pending liquidity crisis. And we do have calls coming in. We'll go to the one. I think this one has already dropped off. Welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air. Yeah, I think that one had already dropped off. That came in earlier. And welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Oh, welcome. Thank you so much, Darcia. Hey, you know, this thing, I think people need to realize that your pension is a form of deferred compensation. So you're making less money because they're promised you part of your compensation package at a later date after you retire. So if they're not making the contribution, which is part of your wages, then they're not fully funding your wage package and they're cheating you. So you're working a whole day getting paid for half a day. And, you know, other things that have happened here recently because of the Democrats are not funding TSA or the Coast Guard or some of these other stuff where they weren't receiving any funding. But pensioners that already retired are receiving the compensation they earned during their career, which was part of their wages. And so these guys not being funded is because they're the state and or the feds or whoever is taking the money they're supposed to be contributing and using it elsewhere.
Correct. And it used to be as public employees, you and the fire department, et cetera, that you would be willing to take a lower pay rate for the purposes of having the benefits, whether it was health insurance or a pension. Now what's happened is we have so many people in the government, on the government dole, that and at salaries that are much higher than the private industry, where they have to fund their own 401k, their own, you know, sometimes there's matching, but there's certainly not those same benefits. I mean, some of the health insurance that's being paid out every year, that is after tax dollars, and it's unbelievable. So when you have pensioners, you know, a lot of people think, hey, I've got my pension, I'm retired, and I'm set. I'm just letting people know that this is very alarming, certainly for the people who are now working. But at some point in time, we knew it was going to reach this because you have how many people that are part of the baby boomer, you know, that are now retiring.
Well, I pulled up numbers off of the CalPERS site. And so CalPERS has 2.4 million members. And they pay out, or last year they paid out $34.6 billion to more than 825,000 beneficiaries. And CalSTRS, I don't have a number on how many members they have.
I have about a million public teachers.
Okay. And then this says there are 260,000 retired members. But if we, you know, last Friday, we were actually talking about how the population has decreased. I can't remember the numbers that Kevin mentioned, but it was about one. It was less than 1%, or maybe about a percent.
0.6, 0.4%.
He pointed out that the number of public employees had increased, and so I pulled that up, and the number of public employees increased by 34,000 between August 2024 and August 2025. So if you've got a decreasing source of revenue in the taxpayer base, but you have an increasing number of recipients in the state and local employee base, you got a big red flag.
Well, you tell me if this is incorrect or not. They don't invest the money properly. Because you got DEI and all this other stuff. Well, we can't invest in this company because they did something wrong that we don't like, which is illegal. They're supposed to be investing for the maximum benefit for
right.
The employees, not for what they like. And the other thing is, when you're taking that money and you're using it on other things that aren't part of the deal, i.e. how much do we spend on homeless or this thing or that thing or whatever the situation is. Just look at even Social Security. How much of the Social Security funds that were supposed to be there for somebody in the future have been siphoned off to pay for other things that have nothing to do with that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I was actually going to bring up an article that was in the California version of the New York Post. But it's called, I Watched California Unions Prioritize Left-Wing Politics. Here's the shocking truth behind the labor movement. And I'll just read this one punchline. This is by someone named Seneca Scott. And it says, I spent nearly two decades in California's labor movement organizing massive groups like the California Nurses Association, Screen Actors Guild, and more. But I left in 2014 after the movement embraced, quote, social justice unionism, end quote, focusing on left-wing socialist issues instead of the workers' interests. And it goes on and it focuses mostly on the SIEU and the teachers' union, but it's a great opinion piece, and it's at newyorkpost.com. If you go in there, they give you an option for California Post and New York Post. But New York's going to have the same problem. I just heard on the radio last week or earlier this week that they want to lower the retirement age for their teachers to 50 or 55. I mean, that's what got Greece in trouble, if you remember, back around 2010 to 2015. They started lowering all those retirement ages in Greece. They called them the pigs. Portugal, Italy, Greece.
And Spain.
And Spain. I think it was Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, because there were five of them.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff, too, I took a 50%. I took a 45% pay cut when I retired. Mm-hmm. And I knew at a specific time what I needed to do to make sure that my life would stay the same or be better from other things that I did. And an example is I worked with a lot of different guys that promoted multiple times. Well, the biggest problem for them was every time they promoted, they got a new wife. And when they got a new wife, that took part
now
of
the... Now, hold on a minute.
And they could never retire because even though they weren't earning anymore, they owed more than what they would ever get.
Right.
And so a lot of their stuff is the knuckleheads themselves doing stupid things during their life. Buying toys with every increase you get instead of putting away for the future and different stuff like that. We're not teaching people. The pension was an incentive to attract and retain certain people so that you weren't changing employees all the time. And that was so that the company would have a long-term benefit from having the same employees that were true to them and true to that thing. But when you're going to... When I graduated high school at 8, and I'm 18, and I go, wow, the fire department just lowered the age from 21 to 18. You know why they did that? They couldn't get minority blacks on the job that didn't have felony records that were 21. So they lowered the age limit. Then years later, they want to complain that, well, these guys are retiring early. They're not retiring early. They've already worked 30-something years.
Right.
And regardless of whatever the situation is, it's a pretty physical deal. And your body's going to wear out whether you start at 20 or whether you start at 30. But you still have to conduct yourself during those years in a productive way to plan for the future and your children and the rest of your stuff. You can't just go play your whole life and then, oh, gee, I didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I had this conversation with somebody the other day, not about firefighter pensions, but public pensions in general. And I used the example of the special operators that went in and did that rescue on Sunday. I would bet you that the average age of those guys going in was probably 29 or 30. And one of the reasons you have pensions is to maintain experience in your ranks. firefighters and military, you don't really join for the pay. You join, because
it's
of
public service.
It's a service. And teachers are the same way. And this was the point of the discussion I had, is when you cannot provide a pension, an attractive pension to someone like you were pointing out, it's deferred compensation. And some pensions are better than others. Like in the military, the expectation is that when you retire, you're going to go on to another career. But if you look at the education and the labor negotiations that are going on with teachers right now around the state, these teachers keep voting for people who are destroying their quality of life. And I would say most of the public employees are. The pension and the pay raises aren't going to keep up with inflation and cost of living.
So the teachers' union, to your point, Kenny, the teachers' union, how involved are they in politics in California? And yet California, it is a contractual obligation. The pensioners get paid before a lot of people get paid in the state of California.
Yeah.
So when you have a situation where the funds have been set aside or mismanaged or maladministration, whatever the case may be, they were originally set up where they must have at least a certain percentage return on investment. I think it's about 7.6, 7.8, and that maybe that's gone down a little bit. But over the years, the market, it hasn't been able to maintain that. So then they get into riskier and riskier investments in order to have a higher return. And where do you end up with there?
Well,
this is a huge red flag.
Yeah,
this should put people's hair on fire, and Greg, you could help put it out.
Well, to Greg's point earlier, if they are not, there was a lawsuit several years ago, and I think it was dismissed, but there were some union members that were suing the pension fund because the pension fund didn't want to invest in like oil and gas or something, and it was tossed by a judge, and I remember reading it thinking, well, it was a state judge, and the state judge is going to be collecting from the same pension. And I felt that was a conflict of interest, and the judge, it shouldn't have been a state case. But
I remember when Coca-Cola was in
South Africa.
Yeah. Different kinds of things in different places. And you have a fiduciary duty to the investment,
right,
not to what you like or what
not your
you
politics.
Don't like. Yeah, you're supposed to be making the most bang for your bucks because these people are depending on this later on in their life. And the same with Social Security and stuff. What is it started? Oh, we're never going to take more than 1%, and you're going to have this here, and it's only going to be used for this. And then everybody and their uncle gets to steal from it. You brought people here from other countries that never worked a day in their life here, and they're collecting Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And in my job, my pension started before Social Security, and during my 30-year career, I didn't pay into Social Security. I had my pension. So even though on all my other employment, I had the quarters, I wasn't able to collect anything. They just took my money and thanked me and gave it to somebody else. I wanted to know if I could sell my quarters on eBay, since I'm not allowed to use them. But everybody has to plan for these things in the future, but you're 100% correct with these people that don't realize that getting $100 more a month on your paycheck when it's going to be squandered and it just moves you into the next tax bracket and you're really going to make 10, but you're going to lose this much. I don't understand. They're probably math teachers. Hell, I don't know. But it's just ridiculous that they don't think about that. Your quality of your employment and your career and Darcy's career, I loved what I did. In fact, the first 5 years, I couldn't even tell you what I'd make. I would be happy to just show up at the fire station and work because I was having so much fun. But if you don't enjoy what you're doing, regardless, and I knew that I had to do other things through my life to in the future to make ends. I built every house I lived in. Mm-hmm. I did things in my off-duty time to prepare myself for later on in life. And that was a major benefit. But if you're on pension, they can't do nothing about you. They got to get rid of the people that are working if they don't have enough money. So a lot of these state employees, these teachers and stuff, hey, you'd be the first ones on the chopping block.
And that's where I think I wanted to call attention to, especially the politics of the unions right now, is mostly, you know, one leaning, we'll call it. It's not even a leaning anymore. That it's just openly stated. And even the Firefighters Association is very left-leaning, where they're supporting certain things and different ballot measures coming up, Kenny. And the teachers' unions. So I think it's something 90%+ of the teachers' unions' dues go to.
It's 92% of all.
There you go.
All of, well, it's 92% of all the contributions made by teachers' unions go to Democrat candidates.
And I'm just saying that in California, we have a Democrat one-party supermajority, and it is the Democrat Party and the current government that this is happening right now in our state. So
yeah, so they have no room to claim that life is unaffordable or that housing is too expensive or any of these other things when they're voting for the people that are creating all of these problems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's like talking to a wall.
Yeah, why don't we have a grass cut holiday? Why don't we say that? Or why don't we have a, what will they think if I don't pay my house payment for 6 months? I'll make it up later.
Well, and we have the high-speed train to nowhere. I think someone was doing an analysis of how much would it cost to have free flights for everyone from Los Angeles to San Francisco, round trip. How many flights could be made with the billions of dollars that have been supposedly spent on the high-speed rail?
Yeah, because housing is free in San Francisco. You just, hey, you just bring it tent and camp on the street.
And with that, we're going to head off to the break. Thank you for calling in, and we'll be back after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed for the day, but up for the week, with the Nasdaq notching its eighth straight session of gains, its longest winning streak since August of 2024, following March's CPI report, with inflation data rising to its highest level in nearly 2 years in the wake of the Iran war. However, the conflict had a less severe impact on inflation than economists had anticipated. Tech gain while healthcare, energy, and consumer staples lagged. Software stocks got battered on AI disruption fears. Chip stocks advanced, with Broadcom stock popping 5%. Intel stock rose 2%, with shares of the semiconductor company closing higher for an eighth straight session. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Nvidia, and Amazon. The Dow decliners, Salesforce, IBM, and Travelers. The Dow falling 269 points. The Nasdaq up 80. S&P 500 down 8. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Kenny shaking his head over here. Welcome back to Sound Off Open Mic Friday.
We didn't get to Article 4, Section 4, but I'm sure she's going to bring that up next.
I just want to keep it on the Constitution.
No,
I have my pocket Constitution right here.
You guys need to lay off the edibles before the show.
Hey, I don't do any edibles.
Or the wine, whatever it is.
Pocket Constitution. In fact, I love this one.
Okay, well,
because it's the United States Constitution, the 250-year version.
Yeah.
It has the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. We should read part of the Declaration.
Is it any different than the 200th bicentennial? That's like when they wanted to change the curriculum at the high school because they hadn't updated the history books for like the last 3 years. And I said, has anything happened that requires the history books to be updated? Let's get back to the union discussion.
Okay.
Maybe somebody can call in and explain this to me. But we were talking about unions and restrictions on spending. One of the ballot initiatives, and I want to try to fit in updates on ballot initiatives, but one of the ballot initiatives calls for restricting political spending by healthcare unions. If anybody knows about that, why we're doing that, let us know. Caller, you're on the air.
I want to try to fit in.
If you can turn down your radio, you're on the air.
Hello. Darsha, this is Gaya, and I was going to ask you a question. I was really disturbed when I saw a Facebook post by our current county clerk recorder, Elena Kinos, and it was regarding an audit, and it was very well scripted, and she was reading from cue cards. And so the subject matter was an audit that was going on. So I was just wondering I'm just curious because I think you have a lot of information about that specific subject. What the Facebook purpose was?
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say that. First of all, I'm not on Facebook, but I did see the post that was on Nextdoor, and what you're referring to is Elena Kano, County Clerk Recorder, Registrar of Voters in San Luis Obispo County, was referring to an organization that had submitted a letter, and I happen to know about the letter. This is regarding New California State, and she was referring it to as a movement, and that came from the letter. But every county clerk, recorder, registrar of voters, specifically registrar of voters, and every sheriff in the state of California, so 58 counties, has received this same letter. And the letter is essentially backing up the investigation that Sheriff Chad Bianco from Riverside County had started. And that investigation had to do with the California Proposition 50 2025 election that occurred last November. That in Riverside County, they had an issue with, a group of the public had done public records requests. And in that, they determined that they could only account for about 611,000 votes, ballots, that had been received from the various different places, whether it's drop boxes, vote centers, from the U.S. Postal Service, from voting at the precincts, wherever it might be, that they had 611,000 that had been tracked and shown as received. However, what was reported and certified at the Secretary of State level for the Riverside County was closer to 656,000. So there's a difference of this 45, 46,000 ballots. And so the sheriff had conducted an investigation back even in 2022. But when this issue came forward, he said, all right, that's it. And he subpoenaed and has possession, as I understand it, as the sheriff, not as a gubernatorial candidate, but as the sheriff, has these ballots under his possession now, and had started going back through to literally physically count the number of ballots. Is there 611,000, or is there, as was certified, 656,000? So the letter that was given to every county clerk, recorder, registrar of voters, and every sheriff in the state of California has to do with, we are asking that the ballots be preserved, and there are certain elections codes that relate to the preservation of the ballots and the election materials, et cetera.
And just for clarification, this is, you were talking about 2022, but this is the 2024 election. These are ballots from the 2024 election.
It's actually the November 2025 election.
Okay, so the special election.
But he also asked for and has subpoenaed the 2024 and the 2025. But specifically where this came forward was the 2025 election, where there was 611,000 that had pieces of paper written on there saying we received 2,432 from this precinct and whatever it might be. Collecting all of those together, the total was 611,000 instead of what was certified at the state.
And I know for federal elections, you have to maintain the ballots for 2 years. Is that the same with state elections? There was no federal ballot essentially in November 2025. So what's the state law for us? Just a
six
state
months. So for the November 5th, 2024 election, where there was presidential candidates, VP, congressional seats, that's considered a federal election, and Elections Code Section 17301 refers to the preservation of the election, the ballots, and the election materials for 22 months.
Oh, 22 months, okay.
So that it would be over September 5th of 2026 coming up, but the Prop 51 was November 4th, 2025, and that is a 6 months, so that it would be up May 4th, 2026. I think in the letter it actually said May 6th, but I think it's really May 4th of 2026 would be 6 months. And so what the letter is doing is requesting that every sheriff conduct an investigation as to whether or not the elections were free and fair and safe and effective, so to speak. And if they are, they are. But it's a way to have the people to settle this once and for all. Have these elections been certified, and have they been accurately accurately counted? So how?
Gotcha. I appreciate that, and I think that all of us are concerned about the secrecy and the resistance that was being polite of our state government and not respecting the constitutional safeguards that we have. So I believe that our state is trying to stop the sheriff, and which I think is pathetic. It's like, why wouldn't you welcome an audit? And then you're also interfering with his authority, which is the, you know, the safeguards as we go down from the state government to the county governments, to the districts, et cetera, but in their jurisdiction. So with our situation, and I appreciate the folks that are behind this effort, obviously, you know, her very scripted response puzzles me because I'm not even sure what the purpose was for her even to come out there and do such a thing. I think that was foolish on her part, and she should probably think about getting her own attorney just to protect herself. She's going to be in a mouthpiece for the county. But she had mentioned that the DA's office is involved, the sheriff, and others. But what do you think that we can expect? I mean, to me, obviously, an audit should be welcome. And we should all be working together to make sure that we do have election integrity. But do you think that the state is going to come in and try to stop this?
Well, what has happened with Sheriff Bianco in Riverside County is Rob Bonta, who is the attorney general for the state attorney general, he has tried several different times and has successfully, in one part, been able to at least put off the counting of the rest of the ballots until after the gubernatorial election. But my understanding is that those ballots are being preserved. The concern is that if you have the six-month deadline coming up as May 4th of 2026, what the county clerk recorders and the secretary of state have said, and what they said to me the other times that I have requested that the 2022 elections, that the ballots be preserved, is that you have to file a lawsuit. And that's been the threat that our county has had with just about everything is, hey, if you want to see it, you have to file a lawsuit. Well,
as you know, Darsha, I filed a federal lawsuit against Elena Kano and the county for election interference. So I think we could, as a community, do that type of an effort. But if it is a group like we're discussing, how much does that cost? Because that's the big deterrent, right? It's the way to manipulate the system where the state has all their resources and financial, basically stealing our money to sue our own counties and
yes, citizens. Yes, I ran into that, as you probably know, when
so
the county,
discouraging. So how much does it usually cost? And
my understanding is that you're looking at least $100,000, attorney's fees, et cetera, to bring forward this lawsuit. But a criminal case, what they're trying to deter people from bringing these things forward is a criminal case. They're saying you have to have probable cause. Well, that's actually not quite correct. Probable cause is if you want to get a search warrant, if you want things like that, but you really only have to have reasonable suspicion. And I think it goes back to a case that was back in Ohio that you really only have to have reasonable suspicion that something has occurred. And if enough people come forward, and New California State has turned in declarations from hundreds of people stating that they're constitutional rights have been violated, or that there's been an oath of office issue, starting with Tommy Gong. So going back to 2021, and
where are those declarations?
Those declarations, my understanding is they are at the district attorney's office, and they have not been acted on. Now,
why do you think that is?
I believe that at some point in time, especially for the 2020 election and the 2021 recall for Newsom and the 2022 elections, that from different federal agencies, everyone in any kind of law enforcement was directed to not pursue any of the claims that might come forward. And so they are using the claim that there's no evidence that there has been any election fraud, any voter fraud, that
Okay, I can understand that under the Biden administration, but now that we're under the Trump administration, thank goodness, why wouldn't the DA move forward if you have all those declarations, or at least put out a public message about the concern?
I agree.
I understand that the sheriff at some point set up a portal. Like, I think it was he had written a letter that was dated September 25th, I believe, of 2024, basically hoping that he would be the designated one if there were any kind of complaints that it would go through his office. He set up a deputy that was dedicated to that. And to me, that's where this should go. You know, obviously, if someone's committed a crime, you go there. But
is the sheriff's department that you may have seen at the collection areas when they're collecting the ballots. That is the sheriff's deputy that is there, and the sheriff is in charge.
What happened to the portal, though?
It's still there. What that was a website at the sheriff's department where you could do citizen incident reports, and citizens did do that. We're going to go to a break, but I'll do a little bit of discussing this as we come back from the break. Thank you for bringing those up, and I will address that. Thank you. And you can call us, KPRL 238 KPRL 5775, in text or call.
Are you curious what your valuables are worth? Plan to go to Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry May 19th through the 21st for the estate buying event. Speak with the specialists who will give your items a free, no-obligation offer. They will be buying gold and silver jewelry, diamonds, coins and currency, artwork, antiques, military memorabilia, and more. Get paid for your unused valuables. For more info, call Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry at 805-238-2231 or visit bellajewel.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Darsha Sevens, Kenny Ennie. All right, so my blood pressure just went up about 15 points. It is the Friday
Article
before
four,
the
section
end.
Four. Article 4, Section 4. Just keep, say the mantra.
We call it the 4x4.
Okay.
So when you order off the menu at In-N-Out, there is a 4x4.
What is that?
Is four that like, layers of meat and layers of cheese.
Oh, my Lord. I'd go into food comatose.
The heart stopper. Anyway, so to follow up from the last caller and what has transpired in our county, I'm very familiar with what has transpired in our county. And what is happening across the state, the reason why what Sheriff Bianco has done with getting the ballots and having the ballots be secured is that if there is a difference between the number of ballots that have been received and counted and what has been certified is a huge problem, even if it's 46,000 and that's not enough to overturn, quote unquote, overturn. What it means is that there are significant issues in the elections process and in the elections certification process. And it highlights the county sheriff, if we have constitutionally, if we have sovereign sheriffs, now some of them are chartered counties where the sheriff is basically is a jailer, is a modified jailer. That's the sheriff is in control of the jail and, you know, part of the budgets for the jail, but doesn't have the ability to be an elected official, so that when you're an elected official, who do you represent? You represent the people. So sheriff in Riverside County, Chad Bianco, has said, we have enough evidence here coming forward. There are questions, and I've been having questions from people since the 2020 election and 2022. I started an investigation. Here we are with the 2024 ballots that are set to be destroyed, recycled slash destroyed in September. And we have the statewide election where we have some, we have questions, and we want to assure ourselves. Now, the whole thing about the vote cal system, which are the registered voters, in California, we have no voter ID. So, well, I have to amend that. So we have a requirement that you have a identification when you register to vote. And then the first time you vote in a federal election, you are to provide a copy of a federal ID or identification, you know, passport, driver's license, etc. But unfortunately, if you don't have a real ID, there's no proof of citizenship that happens when you vote for the first time in a federal election in the state of California. So we can certainly do more to shore that up. But what's significant about what Chad Bianco is doing is that he has set aside the ballots. Now, there are two other states that have also gone through what is a counting of the ballots themselves, and that is Fulton County, Georgia, and Maricopa County, Arizona. Those both relate to the 2020 election and every election since. But this, the ones that he's trying to preserve the records for, are 2024 and 2025. Now, I was involved with the recounts that we had locally here for the Supervisorial District 4, which was between Lynn Compton and Jimmy Paulding in June of 2022, and the November 2022 Supervisorial District 2, which was between Bruce Jones and Bruce Gibson. So that is the same election, November 22, where Bruce Gibson supposedly won by 13 votes. We had many issues with that election, I can say, because there were 332 provisional ballots that all of a sudden showed up in the remaining to be counted 2 weeks into the election, saying we heard four different stories from three different people as to where those ballots came from. And it all happened when Bruce Jones got within 33 votes of Bruce Gibson. And everything changed in that department. And I contacted district attorney's office at that point in time. So I know what interaction has happened with our sheriff. I know what interaction has happened with our DA. And to me, there are significant issues with our elections and our elections process in this county and in other counties across the state. So I welcome it, and it seems to me that if any point in time the county clerk recorder, Elena Cano, had come forward to me and said, Darsha, I don't understand why you have these concerns, but please come here. We'll open up everything. Everything is supposed to be transparent. We'll provide you reports. We'll provide you information. I personally want to find out myself, because I'm concerned that people would have questions about the election that I'm certifying to the Secretary of State. That never happened. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was, no, you can't have that information. Even if you subpoena the surveillance videos, we're not going to give that information to you. I did public records requests. I've done a lot of things to make sure that we get that information, and a lot of it has not been made available. So I personally have an issue with that, and that's why my blood pressure goes up. So the letter that was presented to the sheriff and was presented to the county clerk recorder, San Luis Obispo, is a letter from New California State saying there are people in your jurisdiction that have questions about the validity and the accuracy of the numbers that have been certified with the Secretary of State. We want the sheriff to open an investigation. And what the Facebook and Nextdoor post that the county clerk reporter put out was basically saying, we are making sure that these ballots are not turned over to anyone who has not filed a lawsuit or filed an elections contest, and we're not going to be turning anything over. People, these are not, it's not confidential information on that ballot. So they're trying to make sure that they're saying that they're maintaining the confidentiality of the voters. I have requested many occasions for both the Republican Party and for me personally to do my own research. You can go, anyone can go down to the county clerk recorder and request the voter rolls. That is name, address, doesn't have social security number, it doesn't have driver's license, but it has that information. All of the public, all of the political parties have access to the voter rolls, the names on the voter rolls. All of the if you are running for office, you have ability to get all of that information. So this is not information that is not at least out in the public where you can either purchase it or get it as you are due if you are running for that office. So Kenny, when you ran for when you were
I'm making faces. What are your thoughts on the filibuster rule in the Senate?
Well, Kenny, you know that I followed your special election in 2023 very closely, and you went down to the county clerk recorders on election night and you saw the precinct ballots come through and you saw them being counted on the tabulator. And what was your experience? Did you think it was anything like what you thought it might be?
It was exactly actually what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Watching them go through the machines, it was pretty easy to watch since there were only two marks on there. And once you figured out where the mark was for you versus the other person, it was easy to watch.
But now on the Prop 50 election, it was interesting that they turned over all of the ballots so that you couldn't see the ballots as they were going through the tabulators down at the county clerk's office. So I know I'm a crazy, you know, passionate person about this, but I also have very, very strong feelings that what is happening in our election system and the processes that we have as a former auditor, I mean, I'm a CPA, as a former auditor, I don't do financial statement audits anymore. I do forensic accounting, that type of thing. But the safeguards that are in place when you have audits of financial statements, the internal controls and the safeguards that you have in place, there are many well-meaning and very nice people down there. I know a lot of them on a first-name basis, but the procedures that are there have gaps in between a lot of those procedures. So they do something very diligently, very accurately, and then there's a whole gap between, okay, well, where did these come from? It came from this Dropbox. Okay, can we assure ourselves that the person whose name on that ballot is the person that dropped that off? We can't. There's no way to know, because every single vote by mail ballot that goes out is a name on the voter registration list. And, you know, we have the case where Tom Fitton just went through and he's very excited that they removed 342,000 registered voters from the Colorado voter rolls. That's great.
Oh, look at that. You ran the clock out on me.
With 342,000, how did they get on
all right,
the voter
well, here's,
rolls
here's
in the first place?
Here's the good news, if there is any. But it looks like the voter ID ballot initiative will be on the ballot, and that it does require real ID. So with that, I'm going to kick off next week so I can actually cover the things that I would like to say. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.